Welcome back to Sundial on WLRN. I'm Luis Hernandez. A new program is trying to make the path to U.S. citizenship more affordable. There are a variety of measures that are making it more costly and difficult to apply for citizenship. Local advocates and organizations are trying to help. One of them is the nonprofit social services organization Catalyst Miami. Their program, Citizenship Lending Circle, is offering a small, zero-interest loan to people that want to apply for citizenship. Sandra Dennis is the Chief Program Officer for Catalyst Miami, and she's joining us now in studio. Sandra, great to have you here.
Happy to be here.
And also joining us is Alina Santana, local immigration attorney and a member of the South Florida Chapter of Immigration Lawyers Association. Alina, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And by the way, as I mentioned, if you have questions about the naturalization process, the fees, any of it, maybe something you're not sure about, let's get rid of the misconceptions. You can email us today, sundial@wlrnnews.org. Find us on Facebook or Twitter at WLRN Sundial. Post your questions there. We'll try to get them in today. Sandra, I want to start with you. The Citizenship Lending Circle program, this is a zero interest, zero fee loan for people applying for citizenship. How does it work exactly?
Sure. So what happens is if folks are ready for citizenship, and so I want to also shout out our partners, Florida Immigrant Coalition, Catholic Legal Services, who actually do the work and making sure people are citizenship ready. And so once folks are ready and they do not qualify for a waiver, and some folks, based on their ability to pay, they may qualify for waivers. And those are folks who have been on public benefits. If you do not qualify for a waiver, we have this no interest loan that you can apply for. And what happens is that once you apply and you approve, the check is sent directly to the State Department, and you can continue on to your process with citizenship interviews, all the other things they do in terms of citizenship, and then you can pay back each month in small increments.
And we'll talk about that waiver in a little bit, but where's the money coming from?
The money is coming from Mission Asset Fund. So Mission Asset Fund is an organization based out of California, and actually are what we really care about. Not only do we care about citizenship, but this is actually a credit building product. And so folks have an ability not only to work on their citizenship, but for Catalyst Miami and our financial coaching thought process, or what we have focused on in the past, is really helping people to build their credit. And so the funds are coming from a CDFI, Mission Asset Fund, out of California.
All right. And I want to talk about that as well.
Sure.
Alina, Sandra's talking about citizenship ready. What does that mean exactly? When are you ready?
So there are a couple of requirements for citizenship. The first thing is you must be at least 18 years old. You have to be a lawful permanent resident for at least 5 years prior to applying, or 3 years if you're married to a U.S. citizen. You have to show good moral character. You have to show that you can read, write, and speak basic English. You have to be able to pass a brief U.S. history and government test. And you have to show continuous and physical presence in the U.S. Those are the things that make you citizenship ready.
What are some of the misconceptions people have that you've heard about becoming a U.S. citizen and what you need to have and what you need to be?
So, for example, when it comes to continuous and physical presence, we get a lot of questions about how much travel is too much travel. We have a lot of people who worry that their couple of trips is too much. You know, when do I abandon my residency? When am I no longer eligible? And actually, the rules are a lot more flexible than that. They allow you to be outside just under half the time of your residency.
I think about, some of the things you said there. For example, talking about that good moral character, how do they measure that?
So good moral.
I'd imagine, obviously, if you have a record, that's,
Yeah. So people think good moral character is just, do I have arrests? Do I have crimes in my history? That's not the only thing they look at. That is one of the factors. And obviously, it's something we have to look at and make sure they qualify for. But apart from criminal history, they're looking at tax issues. Have you paid your taxes? Have you been late with your taxes? Are you on a payment plan? If so, are you making those payments? That's a big one. Child support is another one. If you do have minors, are you supporting them? Have you been supporting them for 5 years? So it's not just, am I writing a check now? It's, have I been writing a check for 5 years? That's another big one. And I think the one that perhaps we're probably here to talk about with public charge. Public charge is not a ground for naturalization, but they will look if you've lied or committed fraud. And that's really where public charge issues come into the naturalization conversation.
So they are looking back on, the time you've spent here And they're looking at everything.
Pretty much. I mean, good moral character is technically stopped at 5 years, but they do have the ability to check out everything in your file and make sure you haven't done anything wrong.
Do they only look at what you've done here in the United
States?
No,
it's everywhere.
Okay.
Yeah, everywhere.
Gotcha.
You have to disclose any arrests abroad. You have to disclose everything. For example, with the child support issue we were talking about, if you have children abroad, you have to show you've been supporting them, even if there's no U.S. order. And that can be quite hard with some of the, you know, arrangements people make with their exes and such.
Again, you know, we're talking about the naturalization process and we're talking about what it takes to become a U.S. citizen, but also the fees that are involved. And, you know, there's now some help out there if in case you need some help in paying those fees, because those fees have gone up. But if you have questions about this process, if you're not sure about, email us now, sundial@wlrnnews.org. Or find us on Facebook or Twitter and post your questions there at WLRN Sundial, and we'll get those into our guest. So, Sandra, take us through this assistance program. One person that it's helped is I hope I'm saying this right, Pierre-Denis Jean-Louis?
Pierre-Denis Jean-Louis.
Thank you so much. All right, tell me, who is he? What's his story?
Sure. So actually, you know, when you work at organizations and you know a lot of services, I personally know Pierre-Denis Jean-Louis. And I knew that he had been wanting to be a part, to be civically engaged, being able to vote. There are also jobs that you cannot get, federal jobs. There's a lot of census jobs that are available right now, but you have to be a citizen. So it's not, there are a lot of things that are not available for people who have permanent residency. And so without a citizenship, you are basically counted out of a lot of good jobs. And so as these things became available, there was more pressure for him to really figure out his citizenship process and how he can get it going. Financially, he wasn't a bind and didn't necessarily have the funds up front to really pay the $725, but he knew that he could pay it back in smaller increments. And that's what we're always looking to do. We're looking to solve problems for people. We know that people may not have $700. That's rent for some folks. That's groceries for them and their children. That's daycare. And so how can we help them, you know, pay for their, they want to pay, but they may not have that amount up front. And so we did that.
And you mentioned it. So let's talk about just real quickly the cost.
Right.
So to go through the process, it's how much?
It's $725. There are no fees involved. There's flexibility. So it's a non-predatory loan. If there are folks becoming a bond and they need to pause for a minute, we allow that. And the citizenship process still continues. So no way will folks have fees or should be scared of this product because it's a loan. And there are a lot of folks who are scared of the word loan, right? But we work through people. We help them make, we make sure that they're also ready for the loan. And so, we do a financial coaching session with them prior to them actually applying for the product to make sure that they're ready and that it doesn't become something that's predatory.
I mean, I'd imagine, you know, it's like a lot of folks, they may not know, you know, how things work.
Right.
So I wonder how many people you run into and they come in and they're afraid. They're even afraid to ask.
Absolutely.
And how do you help them overcome the fear?
I mean, we tell them that first and foremost, most of the word gets out through trusted partners. So we're not necessarily the ones going out looking for people. People have heard based on stories like
Pierre from somebody
from
else,
other people that they yeah. trust, and then they're coming to us. But we talk to them about the benefits of citizenship, and we also tell them that you know, they come to us because they trust us already, and that we also have success stories of people, like on our postcards, this is success stories that are on here from people who look like them, who are from backgrounds just like them. And I think this allows them to kind of like bring down their guard and really being able to connect with us and the services that we're offering.
You know, Alina, one of the things that's interesting is that, you know, and I'm only going to speak about, you know, Latin American countries. When you talk about lawyers, their definition of lawyers very different than lawyers here. You're smiling. So when you run into people here, and I wonder what kind of questions, because I want to know some of the stories you've heard from people, like when they come here, what they expect, and then what they learn because they realize, oh, things are done differently.
You know, there's a lot of things. First off, you know, we have a problem with a lot of unlawful practice of law in South Florida with notarios. You know, that's what we call them, notaries. And in a lot of the Latin American countries, a notary is an attorney.
Right.
In other words, a notary is better if you look at it like on a step up level. Not all attorneys are notaries, but all notaries are attorneys. And so there's this implicit trust that they have when people advertise that they're a notary. And as here, as you know, you can get a notary, anyone can get a notary stamp for, I think it's $20 in an online course.
Right.
So that's a big problem because they'll trust people who they shouldn't trust, or, you know, people who really just shouldn't be advising and can maybe only do the basics or not even that sometimes with some of the forms I've seen.
Do you find in your experiences that people, they come with a lot of questions or again, just a lot of fear?
You know, fear is the biggest thing right now. They are absolutely terrified. And I always tell people that the stress and anxiety of the whole process, I joke with my clients that they've hired me so that I can stress for them and I ask them to relax. And I say, when I worry, then you can worry. that's what I tell them. Because the truth is, I feel like I'm a therapist sometimes. I have conversations where they watch the news or they hear of something new and they call in absolutely panicked and terrified. Does this affect me? Is this going to affect me? What's going to happen? And a lot of them who have never applied for anything or are applying for status for the first time, they're terrified to come out of the woodworks and even apply, even if they qualify. And they wait years and years, sometimes due to money. Other times it's just the fear.
And I mean, you know, not this is I want to make this segment about the process. But at the same time, over these last few years, in this administration, the immigration issue has been very heated. And that's caused a lot of fear, I'd imagine. A lot of
Absolutely.
People asking questions if it's affecting me.
Absolutely. It's been the hot topic almost every day. So
I'm talking with Alina Santana, local immigration attorney, also Sandra Dennis, chief program officer for Catalyst Miami. That's a nonprofit social services organization helping make citizenship more affordable through their program. They have a citizenship lending circle that we've been talking about. We did get a question via email. This from Laura. If you are granted asylum in the United States, are you then able to apply for citizenship? Alina, I think, might lean towards you on that one.
So after you are granted asylum, you have to wait a year and you actually apply for residency first. So that's step one. And then once you've been a resident for 5 years, then you can apply for citizenship.
Again, you can ask your questions, email us, sundial@wlrnnews.org. Or again, you can post it on Facebook or Twitter at @WLRNSundial. You know, we know that there are these fee waivers that we heard about just a little while ago. Does applying for fee waivers affect the process of naturalization? Who wants to tackle that one?
I can start with another attorney.
Okay.
So public charge, and I don't have the recent updates. There's a lot of fear around public charge. What counts as public charge? There are a lot of people who are no longer they don't want to go the fee waiver route because they think it will impact their ability to be a citizen because that is in their record.
So let's remind people what these are. So what the public charges, what the fees are, the fee waivers are exactly.
So fee waivers are if you've been on, let's say, specifically SNAP food stamps, you can apply and perhaps qualify for a fee waiver where you don't pay the $725 for the citizenship application.
But there's a concern now that
Absolutely.
If you are applying for these fee waivers, that could impact your ability, right, to apply for
Absolutely.
Citizenship.
There is a concern, yeah.
Is the concern, I mean, is it a real concern or is it just one that people have? I mean, is it really impacting them?
So under the law, whether or not you've paid the fee has no bearing on your application for citizenship. It's really more of an issue under the public charge rules that haven't kicked in for residency. For citizenship, it's a non-issue. However, the fact that you're not paying a fee could open the door to the officer asking more questions regarding your income, regarding your benefits, and thus looking for fraud. Did you lie on some of those applications? Did you disclose everything you were supposed to disclose and things like that? So that's, I think, more of where our fear as an immigration bar is.
You know, I wonder, Alina, when you run into folks and again, all of these questions, because we need to know as much as possible, how often do you run into people who really try hard to hide as much as possible? And what do you tell them?
Just hide in general.
Yeah, just hide their past.
You know, I run into a lot of them. People come in for consultations and they'll tell you they've been here 10, 15 years and have never done anything about it because they're terrified. A lot of them have children born here and the prospect of being deported or losing the case is so large, even if they have a wonderful case sometimes. So, you know, really, I try to be just as honest as I can with people and what the chances of them actually getting the case are.
We got another comment coming in. This one on Facebook from Maria Eugenia Galame. I hope I'm saying that right. If I have a traffic ticket, does that affect my process for citizenship? I mean, you know, it's an infraction of the law.
So maybe you do have to disclose infractions that actually changed a couple years back on the N-400, which is the application for citizenship that's filed. You do have to disclose it. It generally will not affect you if the ticket is, you know, pretty run-of-the-mill ticket.
Speeding ticket or parking tickets.
So, it depends. There are traffic tickets and there are criminal traffic tickets.
Right.
So, for example, driving without a license is actually a criminal traffic infraction. Mm-hmm. So, really, I hate to say this, but the best advice I can give is to go see an immigration attorney and see your specific case, whether it's going to be an issue or not, because it could be used against you for that 5 years of good moral character if it was recent.
We hear the expression a lot, which is get in line. Get in line, wait like everybody else. I want to understand, you know, what it means to wait for getting this process, if there is such a thing as a line, but really, what is that process for becoming a U.S. citizen, and why does it take so long? Why, help me understand that. Alina, you're the attorney.
Frankly, it's for me, it's just processing time, is my opinion.
What do you think of that phrase?
What, processing?
Get in line.
Oh, get in line. I mean, the phrase is problematic because it implies there is a line to get in many times.
Yeah.
A lot of my clients would happily get in line if there was a line they could stand in and qualify for something. I don't think it relates as much to citizenship. But for example, in a lot of the asylum conversations, they have to get in line and wait. I mean, if there's a line they can stand in where they'll be granted asylum at the end of it, they're happy to stand in it. But the line just doesn't exist. The policies that this administration in particular has been putting in place are really about destroying the ability for there even to be a line and about decreasing the amount of applications in the first place, just making it completely impossible all the way through to even apply. Mm. So, what line is, I guess, my answer.
You know what? Sandra, talking about, because you mentioned earlier this helps build credit. The other thing I was wondering, too, is how often do you run into people who come to you and say, I don't have credit, or I'm worried about credit, because you say loan and automatically they're thinking I don't qualify for loans.
Right. So there's I can speak specifically for the Haitian community. The Haitian community knows credit to be a bad thing, and there's a lot of unlearning and teaching new things about what credit is when folks are new to the country. And so we know that South Florida has a large demographic of immigrants, people who are new to the country, who may be new also to our financial systems, who need to learn and understand what credit is and also how loans can be used if you qualify, also to build your credit back if you can pay those back. So I think it's really important for us to always assess readiness, right? Some folks are ready. They have a job. And even if it's not like a salary job or a high-paying job, they have some ability to pay back the $70 to $72.50 a month. Some folks don't. It may not be them. It might be their spouse. So if you're not working, if your spouse is, or your child who you live with, whatever the case is, we'll figure that out together. But people don't understand credit, and we use this as a product to help people understand credit, but also build their credit too. And we're seeing upwards of 200 points increases in people's credit score after they're done with this this product.
And as you said, it's a no fee loan. So this isn't one of those loans where, like, you have a 5,000%, interest rate.
Absolutely
on it.
Not. We actually advocate for a lot of those to do away with those practices here in the state of Florida. My sister works in Tallahassee, and she said we're the capital of fraud. People are preyed upon. And so we really want to get good products out there so that people don't have to go to those readily accessible predators in our community.
We're the fraud capital of the world. Not the country, world.
It sounds like a whole new show that I'm going to have to do just on that. We did get another comment on Facebook. This one from Sophia. I've been married to a U.S. citizen for 25 years. Do I need to list the last 5 years of travel outside of the U.S. or just the last three?
So it depends what box you marked on the first page of that application. On page one of the application, it'll ask you if you're applying because you've been a resident for 5 years, or if you're applying because you've been a resident for 3 years and are married to a U.S. citizen. One implies all the regular requirements for citizenship. The other one implies all the regular requirements plus proof that your marriage is legitimate and you've been together for 3 years. So if you've checked I personally would disclose the 5 years no matter what, but which are relevant will depend on which box you checked on page one.
I wanted to also clarify too, just so we know, remind us again what the basics are: green cards, visas, citizenship, what these things are, what they mean. So people, we understand that.
Yeah. So on a preliminary level, there are people who are unlawful, which means no status. And then there are people on temporary visas. There are different types of visas. These are called non-immigrant visas. And then when you move into an immigrant visa, it means you've applied for a more permanent status, which is the green card, the residency. Green card is the old word for residency that we still use. As a matter of fact, green cards aren't even green anymore. It's just stuck in our vernacular. And then once you're a resident for a certain amount of time, then you can switch to citizenship. So that's kind of the progression of status.
Just real quickly, as we finish up here, Sandra, what's the advice that you give to people, you know, again, as they are getting ready, their citizenship ready, but they're worried because maybe, as you said, the fees may be out of reach. How are you reaching people? It's not just word of mouth, but what else are you doing?
We market, we share on social media, we're interviewing everywhere on English-speaking, Spanish-speaking, Creole-speaking media platforms. But we want people to know that citizenship has benefits. There are a lot of permanent residents who are eligible for citizenship that are not citizens. And if fees are the issue, we would like for them to come and see us and talk to us and see how they can get some help. Also, I want to also speak to our partners, Catholic Legal Services, Office of New Americans out of the Miami-Dade County, FLIC, Florida Immigrant Coalition, who also does the work at a reduced rate to help people prepare for citizenship.
And just know that there are a lot of questions you may have. Following the news, probably not the best way to get those answers. As Sandra said, there are a lot of great organizations that can help you find those answers. Again, talking with Alina Santana, local immigration attorney, member of the South Florida Chapter of Immigration Lawyers Association, Sandra Dennis, Chief Program Officer for Catalyst Miami. Again, an organization helping make citizenship more affordable. Alina, Sandra, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, still to come, Palm Beach Island has a fascinating history. A lot of it centered on one building, Mar-a-Lago. We'll talk with author Les Standiford about his newest book about one of the most iconic buildings in Florida. And speaking of books, at the end of the show, we're going to announce our Sundial Book Club selection for November. So don't go anywhere.